this is going to be roughly from Romans 7:21 through Romans 8:4. And I think you know what I mean by roughly. We do extend it a little bit. But so just before we get to Romans 8, this is one of the most important sections, I think, in through here, these chapters. To me, it's the second most exciting, the first being Paul describing how to be saved. So let's start with 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, you listen to some, welcome to the room, you listen to some people and they'll say, well, see, God wants everybody to be saved. Who can resist God? You know, everybody's going to be saved. But that doesn't match the rest of Scripture. I mean, that's a private interpretation. That's not in line with, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you under my, under my wings, you know, and but you would not. I would, but you wouldn't. And they went ahead and didn't gather to the Lord, and he allowed them. So the Lord does allow free choice, free will, and they have, you know, they... People are responsible for their choices. And I guess that's why in a lot of their churches, you don't hear much about the gospel, because they figure, well, if you're here, you're probably saved. You know, God drew you here because he saved you and told you to come here. That's not the way it works. We're called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. You got to hear the gospel and believe it. So, what I see there, we didn't finish the verse, did we? Who will have all men to be saved, that's primary, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're doing here. So, it's not just head knowledge. Yes, there is doctrinal information we need to assimilate, but to be constantly taking in, that's, we don't always do that. It should be a goal to try and extend, you know, don't ignore the doctrine. Where is that verse? Let me just post one here that I found. I knew about it, but I couldn't remember where it was. And this is the only place where, that I know of, where Paul says, keep the traditions, but he qualifies it. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word. That's still not specific enough. Here he gets specific, though. Or our epistle, not James' epistle, not Peter's epistle, Paul's epistle. That's where the traditions are to be followed. So, it has to do with our life, with our living, how we live. The coming to the knowledge of the truth, the doctrine, standing in the traditions taught by Paul in the epistles. So this is what godly living in this section is about, the second of four sections in Romans. It explains and makes possible to us this godly living. Because it's not possible by our own doing. We can't just try to be good. I mean, you can fool people for a while. You can fool yourself. But that's in the flesh. That's from Adam. We fail every time. We don't realize it sometimes, but we're failing if we're exercising our flesh to try and be good. God does it. He's the one that empowers us through his Spirit, through the Word. God does it or it's not going to get done. God has to do it, not only judicially and positionally by saving us, but he also must do it in our daily lives, our walk. So, We need, like we started out, it's a choice. We need to let him do what he says he's going to do in these verses. We'll be reading the verses, but look for places that and context that shows we're to follow the Spirit's leading in our life instead of the fleshly promptings that we all get because we're born directly from Adam. All of us are. Only those that are saved have the Spirit, and therein is a conflict, but it's it's pulling us away from the flesh toward the Spirit. Okay, toward living by the Spirit's direction through the Word. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 1 in Romans. He starts out, well, we'll get the first word, therefore. It's referring to what went before, what we've been studying. Romans 6 and 7, we need to go back a few verses, 7:21. Romans 7:21, it talks about a law. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. According to the dictionary, Webster's, Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, the word law does not, often it does not refer to the law of Moses, but rather to a civil law, such as speed limit, or a procedure, or a rule of procedure, or the way things work, such as the law of gravity. So he's not, every time the word law comes up, doesn't necessarily mean the Mosaic law. Just like baptism doesn't necessarily mean water. It's thought of that way by some, but it's not intrinsic. That law is not the law of Moses. It's the way of operating. It's the way things work. It's not something that if you don't keep this law, then you're not going to be saved or something like that. It's not a condition, not a test. It's a way of operating, a way things work. God made things work in a certain way. Some things got changed at the fall, and you have to slap a lot more mosquitoes and stuff like that. But in Romans 7:21, we see, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the crunch point. If evil wasn't present with us, and if everything was easy, then things would be a lot different. But there is a battle that is going on. Just look for a minute at Romans chapter 7, verse 5. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members. Now, that law is the law of Moses that it's talking about there. The law that Israel was under did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Things didn't work the way we thought they would work, or the way we wanted them to work. So, well, let's go on. We believers have good and evil struggling within us. That's one way of looking at it. The other way is that the way Paul ends up chapter 7, from chapter 7, verse 17 on to the end of the chapter there, showing that he's righteous, but in his members there is sin. There, you know, so it's a little difference there. Not a conflict, just a different aspect of it. And if you look in the next couple verses, we see a couple laws talking about a saved person. We see the law of God that equals the law of my mind. Then you see another law in my members called the law of sin in my members. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We all need to just not just keep going day after day and go through our habits and everything. We need to recognize we have an inward man. So a saved person doesn't want to sin. They are created unto good works. They are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And when saved people do whatever they want to do, what they want to do is good works. As we read before, sometimes they're hindered. There's a struggle. He now, though, he has a license to do good works. He wants to be pleasing to God, and it's his new man. It becomes fulfilling to him to see the Lord working through him in good works. In Romans 7:23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. To clarify things, let's look at, we looked there a few minutes ago in the other study, but Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. And here we see that although we're in a struggle, God fixed it so that they are in two different realms, like we were mentioning a moment ago. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see at the beginning of us, there's a separation there. Between the flesh and the spirit, verse 17, for this the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Let me just, I'm gonna go outside my notes here for a minute. Let me find the verse. It's kind of a summary verse, but keep this in mind as we go through these other verses where we're heading. If we live in the Spirit, and if we're saved, Romans 8:9 says we are in the Spirit, regardless of our walk. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that, you could think about that quite a while. And the effects that'll have on you. If you live in the Spirit, if you're a saved person, you have the Spirit that's in you, and you're in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. There's the goal. Practical. Well, what if you want to... you want to please God, right? We all want to please God. But you can't do it because of the flesh. You can't always do it consistently. So that's the predicament that Paul is teaching about here, and he's going to show how it's resolved right in these verses. Romans 7:22, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And then if you look in 2 Corinthians, we're going to cover 10 to 15 verses here that explain this passage that we're in, starting in 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a definite difference there. Different directions, too. Now he talks about things that we often associate with the difficulties in life, and he relates it all to the difference that he just mentioned there in verse 16. The difference being between the outward and the inward man. And in verse 17, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? For the things which are seen are temporal, not lasting. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And we get into chapter 5 then, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 2 through 4. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I think that's in the fifth chapter, isn't it? If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. And that he's not talking about arthritis and headaches and stuff. Galatians 5:17 says that in this, it's in this battle that believers are in, you cannot do the things that you would because of the flesh. You're hindered. It's like Adam and Eve, they just threw the seed down on the ground and things would grow. And then the fall came and it took a whole lot more work. Well, that's in our lives. We would like to do things as the Spirit leads us, but there's a battle, you know. There's a resistance in our members. And verse 4, for we that are in, this is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Swallowed up of life. And he carries on that theme, or brought it over from 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. What's the selfsame thing? What's that? Well, it's what Paul just mentioned, that our mortality might be swallowed up of life, that my flesh will be swallowed up by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, that the walking in the Spirit would win the battle over walking in the flesh. Now, Paul is going to tell us part of the resolution. He says, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And I don't think sometimes we recognize the power that, I mean, it's different than at the introduction of Paul's gospel, when he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And, you know, there were signs. There was the healings, and there was speaking in tongues and things like that, partly because of showing that what the Jews had is now over with the Gentiles, or with Paul's group, but partly because they were bringing the new scripture into print and teaching it and writing it. But we know that when that stopped, when that period stopped, and he was no longer sent just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, we got it. Some of those displays of God's power stopped, but we don't realize that he is still powerful and he is in us and we're in him. And he works through his word, and he can powerfully change us by his word, by the Bible. It's only by God's deposit in us that we have the new man, and we then begin to walk after the Spirit. In other words, God did it, made it all available for us. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That word wrought, it's not R-O-T, it means, well, it's the same word in Philippians 2:12, translated to work out your own salvation. And it can mean accomplished or finished or performed or worked out. I like finished and accomplished. They both seem to fit the context there. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And there's another assurance that whether or not you understand God's provision, that your walk will end in righteousness, you can always be confident of the outcome. That we walk by faith, not by sight. And that matches that verse a few verses ago we read, but this is 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's our walk. our walk is not by what we see, our sight. It's not by our senses, what we feel. You know, you sit in a rock and worship service, so-called, and they're repeating and repeating, and you know, people get a feeling from that. But it's emotion. It's in the flesh. Emotions are flesh and not the Spirit. It's not honoring to God. I don't know that it's sin, but it's not walking after the Spirit. The Spirit, it used to be, our walk is not to be by our flesh. It used to be that only by our flesh we would walk before we believed the gospel, before we were saved. We only had the flesh. Your flesh doesn't count toward your walking after the Spirit now that you're saved. They're different. Here's part of the remedy for this predicament of wanting to be godly, but having the flesh like a dead man dragging around behind us. It's in Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's the same thing we've been talking about. How can you reckon yourself dead to sin? Dead to the flesh? Well, because it was crucified. It is dead. Don't resurrect it. The flesh is crucified. So now that gives believers the ability to reckon yourselves dead to sin. You have to do that by faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Again, Paul assures the believer that those are the only two possibilities. Hell has passed out of the picture for the believer. Now Paul switches and says, wherefore, or in other words, for which reason, and he begins to consider the believer's rewards. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we, and verse 10, he's talking about believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that is the believer's reward, or lack of reward, depending on what he's done or not done. So we go back to Romans 7:23. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind being the law of God, as he says in verse 22, Romans 7, 22 through 8, 1. We're going to look at those verses. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That again is a restatement of that dilemma, that predicament. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body, that's the flesh, from the body of this death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you got to put those verses together there. Who shall? Jesus Christ shall. And so Paul thanks God that it is done. There is a way. Verse 25, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So what's the resolution? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we need to remember here, Paul is saying, what he's saying is, he's saying some things and he's not saying other things. He doesn't say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, if they walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's not a condition. It's a description. In God's sight, our walk is after the Spirit. Who are these people? They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the way they live once they're saved. So we're talking about how God views us again, but it's regarding our daily walk. It's done in Christ. Are you beginning to see this from the Scripture? Those two realms here. There are those that are in Adam. There are those that are in Christ. Everybody starts out in Adam. We all have descended from Adam through Seth, through Noah, but from Adam. And Genesis 5:3 says what effect that had on us. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. And listen to the description. Begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. Not the image of God. Not in God's their own likeness, the Godhead speaking. But in Adam's likeness, after his Adam's image. And called his name Seth. So the fall continues generation after generation. And the result of the fall, Genesis 2:17, in the day that you eat it, thou shalt die. Death, we're all born, Ephesians 2:1. I'm waiting for it to come to me. Let me look it up, an important verse here. It continues to today because it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So that result comes to us. I don't believe we're paying for Adam's sin. We're receiving the consequence of Adam's sin that has come down generation after generation. So everyone born after Adam has Adam's death working in us instead of God's breath of life still working in us. As in Genesis 2:17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of the tree of the knowledge, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Being in Adam is being in the old man. Being in Christ is being in the new man. All are in Adam. The only ones in Christ are those who chose to believe Christ's gospel of the grace of God, which Christ only revealed to Paul You can't find it anywhere else in the Bible because it's not there. It was hidden. So, only those who are now in Christ are in both realms, in Adam and in Christ, and therein is the battle, our walk. Okay. Questions, comments?